Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, here we go on a Thursday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, James Howe producing the show today. He's filling in for Drew. Hope you guys are having a good Thursday, a gloomy, foggy Thursday.
And then I think we
got some rain coming in, but then it's supposed to be good for Chiefs Colts. I was looking before the show. I was telling you guys that various ticket marketplaces, I don't care, you pick it, right? Whether it's StubHub
whatever
or whatever.
Secondary site, right?
Whatever site you prefer. Tickets are fair. I don't want to say cheap because I'm not acting like it. For NFL game, it is cheap. How
for
about that?
For an NFL game for a team that's been to a Super Bowl three times in a row.
It's for the worst seats, basically, just to get in. The get-in price with fees on one of the apps I was looking at this morning, $150.
Honestly.
It's not going to be.
By NFL game standards, pretty reasonable.
It's the Colts. I get it. But it's a Colts team that is very good. It's the Chiefs season that is on the line Sunday. And the weather is not supposed to be bad at all. I think it's supposed to be 60 for November 24th or whatever it'll be on Sunday. Like, that's not bad at all.
No. Honestly, when's the last time you remember going to a November game that had that kind of weather?
I'm just saying, if you were thinking about going, not a bad opportunity. Now, they're not great seats, but if you just want to be part of it.
Or you could, you know, if the seats, I'll tell you this much. This is a tip of cash works. If the cheapest seats are that price, I would say the good seats are also cheaper than normal.
Yeah.
That's typically, and again, not cheap, but just cheaper than normal. And certainly that is something that applies to that. But it's not like it's a small game against the Indianapolis Colts coming up this Sunday.
Nope.
It's a pretty big one. And I think that I was thinking more and more about this team. And I thought Travis Kelce, I'd mentioned this maybe for a few seconds in the show yesterday. He was on New Heights. And he had kind of what maybe perfectly encapsulates the way we feel about this. Which is, in discussing the season, and I'll have you play the clip in just a second, Gold. He was talking about how when you watch this team play, when you look at the talent on the field, it just simply should be better than it is. I'm not saying it is better, but it should be better than it is. This is what Jason Kelce was asking him about, and I think that this kind of exemplifies maybe how we feel.
Bunch of flags all over the place, whether it was, you know, procedural penalties, which is the f***ing most frustrating thing ever, or holding penalties, which some I'm here for, others I'm just like, what are we even doing? Mm-hmm. And it's you know, obviously putting up touchdowns instead of field goals, man. It's frustrating because it's gotten to the point where we're 5-5. We're 500 going into the back end of the schedule here. We've got 7 games left, and we basically got to run the table.
And he went on from there. We can get into the playoffs and running the table, but this was when Jason was basically looking at
right
the roster.
This.
Yeah, right. We're talking about the roster and how Travis Kelce looks at this roster compared to a year ago.
You know, it's frustrating where you guys are at. You're 5-5. 5 of those losses, though, are one-score games. There's like 1 or 2 plays a game, and you guys could easily still be at the top of the AFC. Yeah. Like, let me ask you this. This is what's crazy about the NFL. If this year's Chiefs team played last year's Chiefs team, who wins?
I'm taking this year's.
That's what I'm saying. I am too. Somehow you guys are better, but you're sitting at 5-5. you're just not being, you're not executing as well at the end of games, which is very uncharacteristic for Pat and what you guys have been, obviously, last year.
It feels like it's all self-inflicting. And it feels like the answers are right there in front of us, and we just got to do it.
This is the same thing as, I think, Tuesday, when we started the show and we went through, and it was Mike Sando from The Athletic that had a really good graphic on this, Cody, and it was the first 10 games of last year, first 10 this year, and it was offensive points per game, better this year. Turnover margin, better this year. EPA per play offensively, better this year. Defensive points allowed per game in the first 10, better this year. And you're like, and then the record, 9-1 versus 5-5. And so, yeah, I can't imagine being a player, let alone just a fan, you know, when we're talking about how frustrating the stretch is. I know everybody wants to say you are what your record is. And look, nobody's rewriting the record. They are 5-5. That is true. But it is bizarre how many people agree, and you just heard Travis Kelce, who certainly has been on plenty of NFL teams and knows when he's got a good roster or not, that he also thinks that they have no business really being 5-5 based off of this roster, that it's better than last year. And that is why, that's why I can't
quit this team.
Why I can't quit them, why I still think they have a real chance to get in. But isn't that why we get back to the coaching stuff? We keep going back to that? Because what's the other explanation? Yeah, Mahomes has not executed in the biggest moments. But also, if we all agree that the roster is what it is, and it's better than a year ago, and now they're 5-5, coaching's a huge part of that.
Well, and I think that some of that is getting frozen in coaching. In the sense that it is like, why do we, you know, we don't have to change anything. Why would we change anything? We're scoring more points, our defense is better. Like, we don't need to change anything. We'll just keep doing the same thing and we should win. And you're like, but you got to change something because the results have changed. Everything else, to their point, like, does technically work. It's like saying the RPOs work. I understand it. You're like, well, why would I change anything if technically we are more successful as that? Well, then you better at least change something in the final 8 minutes of the game. You better change something in the fourth quarter. Gold, you'd pointed out that the inability or unwillingness, I'll say, to run the ball in the fourth quarter in a 19-16 game is insane. I'm glad that you've had a good offensive run where the passing game has worked. Switch it up late in that portion of the game. I think some of this, and I think what I figured out is what I actually think is at play here is, as a team, as a roster, they might be as good, if not better. But in any other year under Patrick Mahomes and Andy Reid, I think what's happened is they had one unit who was definitively better and could go win you an ice a football game. They had a defense who could just ice you a football game. They had an offense who could just win you a football game. And neither unit is capable of that. And what's happened here is, in previous years, they had a defense who could just go put them away. They had an offense who could just go put them away. And this year, they're good in both, but neither one is great. And they need that greatness in the fourth quarter at the end of the game to seal this thing.
So I don't disagree, but what do you think that is within that? I think it's what we've talked about a few times throughout the year. On the defensive side, if you're saying in the past they would have at least something on defense to close out a game, well, who was the closer? It's Chris Jones.
Yeah.
Who is, even though
Patrick Mahomes hasn't been quite the same.
And then on the offensive side, who's the closer? I mean, Patrick Mahomes. They have struggled to close out games with Patrick Mahomes has struggled to close out games this year. Chris Jones has obviously not been nearly as dominant, even though he's coming off actually one of his better performances. I know they lost, but so there you go. There's your answer. If you're saying, and I don't disagree, that it feels like they don't have one side of the ball being dominant to close out a game. Well, yeah, it's Mahomes and Chris Jones, two guys they've always counted on during these runs to close them out. Neither guy has been quite as good in those particular moments. And then there's the special teams unit, which has just been way more problematic than any other year, I feel like, with Andy Reid and Dave Tobe. I mean, whether it was earlier in the season with the Butker misses, whether it's been the holding penalties on kick returns, punt returns. Obviously, this past week, it was more of the blocking scheme than Butker on the block. I don't think that was Butker's fault. That was the offensive line. The protection broke down. And I think, who was that? Juwan Taylor, maybe on the right side of the line.
Yeah. And no, I don't. And somebody had asked I don't over fear that, I guess, at least based on that. The special teams has been an issue, though. And in a year in which no team is dominant, well, then you can't afford special teams mistakes. And there were multiple in that game. They had two long kick returns and gave up the blocked extra point. And look, the blocked extra point in the end, based on the way the scoring went, wouldn't end up making the difference, but it could have.
Well, it changes the way the Broncos approach the drive. Maybe it changes the way Steve Spagnuolo calls defense on the drive. It was a massive shift.
Somebody asked, are they penalized more or less than last year's team? Okay, so last year's team played in 20 games, were penalized a total of 129 times for 1,038 yards. They're exactly halfway through that total of 20 games this year. 10 games, 58 penalties, almost exactly half, 578 yards, a little more than last year's pace per game. But the answer is not about the same. Like, you want to know the answer? Pretty close. A few more penalties total. 69 penalties in 10 games. They only had 110, but that slowed down come playoff time, as you know. So those numbers came down a little bit in the three playoff games versus the 17 regular season games. And so, no, they are on paper. The way that they perform from a yards per play, points per game, points allowed per game, all these things, better than last year's team like Jason and Travis are talking about. Except one pretty notable exception, the record, in which they are significantly worse.
And that's why we've had a few national people on the show this week. If you've paid any attention to some of the other national shows this week, I saw Rich Eisen had a clip yesterday, time out of everybody nationally, as much as in the offseason people were predicting the Chiefs to not win the West and for their run to be over. And look, they might end up being right if the Chiefs lose on Sunday. I've seen Rich Eisen. We had Ross Tucker on the show. I think Dan Patrick said it the other day, too.
Careful.
They're all agreeing. They're like, no. I'm not counting them out yet. Everybody, though, if the Chiefs lose Sunday on Monday, you have to say it's over. I know mathematically they will not be eliminated, but I think Sunday they win and it's a completely different vibe. If they lose on Sunday, I don't know how you can't come in on Monday's show and say, all right, guys, it's just not happening this year. That's at least where I will be.
It'd be pretty hard for me to say they're going to win their next six games in a row after they just lost three in a row, and seemingly, because if they lose this one, we'll continue to have nothing going.
Coming up at 11, Danen Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, going to join us here on the show. We'll get his thoughts on where this team is at in the playoff picture. Also, about the coaching, the predictability that has been talked about so much this week on this station, on this show, nationally as well, what Patrick Mahomes had to say about RPOs, all that we'll get into with Danen Hughes. Now, looking at the playoff field, I don't need to tell you much about the AFC. I think we all kind of have a good grasp of that. But we know the current field would be the Broncos, Patriots, Colts, Steelers, Bills, Chargers, Jags, with the Chiefs and the Texans and the Ravens on the outside looking in. On the NFC side, the current number one seed would be the Eagles. The 2 seed out of the West would be the Rams, 3 seed Bears in the North. Bucks would be the 4 seed, current leaders in the NFC South. The wild card teams would be the Seahawks, the Packers, the Niners, and on the outside looking in would be the Lions and, yes, the Carolina Panthers sitting at 6-5. I bring this up because I want to ask you guys, 913-586-7965, what team that I listed that is currently in on both the AFC and NFC side, give me one on each, who you don't think will be there when the end of the season happens. So who will not make the playoffs, basically, that is currently in the field. I think on the AFC side, this is way easier to do.
Everyone's going to say
right?
The Steelers?
Right. On the AFC side, are we wrong there?
Can I give you who my number two option would be?
Yeah. So let's start with, the Steelers, I think, is the obvious answer most people are going to gravitate toward. Because, one, Aaron Rodgers is also hurt, and most people just don't believe in that offense in Pittsburgh. Not to mention the Baltimore Ravens are playing a heck of a lot better football. The Ravens are 5-5. The Steelers are 6-4. They're right there all of a sudden. And most people think the Ravens are going to end up winning the division. So my answer, first and foremost to the Steelers. Who's the next one? And it
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
has to be a wild card, right? There's no other division team you think's not going to make the playoffs.
No. At this point,
it's really
Denver,
the Chargers or the Jags.
I think it's the Chargers. I would have said the Jags a month ago, but the Chargers cannot and will not be able to consistently overcome their injuries. So unless all their guys are coming back, and there's no indication of that, right? They got serious injuries and guys are going to miss serious time. Well, then they're the ones at risk. Look, the thing that will save them is they will have a seventh win before they get a loss because they got the Raiders coming off a bye week. So
yeah,
I think they'll get that one. You know what? I can hate on the Chargers all I want. I think they'll get to 7-4 following, or they're 7-4 now. Sorry, they played 11 games. I think they'll get to 8-4 doing there. So like,
and they got a 63% chance right now to make it,
which means I think, can they finish 2-3 and miss the playoffs and lose their tiebreaker to Kansas City and all this other stuff? And the answer is yes, because their final five games are at home versus Philly, at Kansas City, at Dallas, a game against Houston, which favors them poorly because Houston can get to the quarterback and gets right. pressure on the quarterback, and they don't have an offensive line, and then at Denver. So, like, their road games are at Dallas, at Kansas City, at Denver, and their home games are Philly and Houston?
No, it's a tough schedule.
I can see them going 2-3. That'd be my secondary answer. Pittsburgh would be my number one. I think the Ravens are winning that division.
Pittsburgh has to be the first choice, I think. The Chargers are interesting because you're right. I think they get to 8 wins. So, 8 wins, that's a nice cushion over, you know, whether it's the Chiefs or anybody else. But you can see easily 3 losses coming towards the end, I think, for the Chargers if they don't get healthy. And there's some injuries where they're just not getting them back. Now, they will get Amari and Hampton, it looks like. I think he's expected, Cody, to be back in the picture. They've actually done a decent job without him. They've been able to make it work with Vidal, the running back, who's done nice.
But Hampton's better.
But Hampton's, what we think. I mean, he's barely played. I barely seen Hampton play. He was showing promise.
They thought he was better, at least to start the year. How about that?
I mean, bigger picture, he's a better back. I'm just saying, it's not like he was off to an amazing start. Najee Harris was initially getting a lot of carries, and he got hurt. Then Hampton had the big game or two, then he got hurt. So I don't know how many games Hampton's even played. But yeah, they'll get Hampton back. I'm kind of with you on the Chargers. The Jags are just, part of it is, you've talked a ton about Trevor Lawrence over the last couple of years. Part of it with them is, do I believe, and there's no Travis Hunter coming back. Brian Thomas has been banged up. He just hasn't been as good. They're 6-4. The Jags schedule the rest of the way. Who do they have, Cody, moving forward?
Well, let me look at their schedule.
Because if you take a look at Jacksonville, they get the Cardinals this Sunday. All right.
That's the same as the Raiders game.
Jacoby Brissett. Then the Titans. Jeez. Then the Colts. Then the Jets. Then Broncos, Colts, Titans. It's
a weird
mixed bag. It's a mixed bag. Like, there's 2 tough games, maybe 3 in there.
This goes back to the issue.
The 2 Colts games and the Broncos.
This goes back to the issue the Chiefs have right now in the tiebreaker scenario. You got to be rooting for the Chargers to fall apart. Like, you know, because at this point, and look, the Jags can lose to anybody. They damn near lost to the Raiders a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So I'm not saying they could lose to the Cardinals this weekend. That's not out of the question. But it is hard to imagine a team missing the playoffs that is actively in a spot who has Cardinals, Jags, and Jets and Titans left on their schedule, man. I mean, come on. Like, by favorability standards, that ain't that bad a one. So, like, my answer would be more likely the Chargers.
And this is why, if the Jags win, according to the playoff probability over with NFL Network, if the Jags win against the Cardinals, they go to a 73% chance to make the postseason. Now, if they lose, somehow it's 50-50. They're already 63%. Right now, they have the same odds as the Jags, but the Chargers, I'm sorry. But the Chargers are on a bye week, and so with the win, the Jags would move to 7-4 as well and have a better win probability. What about on the NFC side? I know we're not really focused in on that as much, but I still think the NFC is fascinating given how strong the top appears to be. Eagles and Rams, 1-2 seeds, legit Super Bowl contenders. I think we would all agree. Veteran quarterbacks, 2 quarterbacks that have already won rings versus on the AFC side, the top 2 seeds, the top 3 seeds for that matter. None of them have won a Super Bowl. None of those quarterbacks have won a Super Bowl. Whereas the Eagles and Rams have, the Bears sitting at a 3 seed, Bucks a 4 seed. Who do you think on the NFC side doesn't get in? Because I still think the Lions are making the playoffs, guys. I think they're too good to not make it. Carolina's tricky. They're 6-5. Are we buying that right now? Like, Bryce Young's coming off his best game of his career, but are we?
They're a fighter. They're not like a completely lost team.
But they have San Francisco Monday night. The Panthers are 7-point underdogs against the 49ers on Monday Night Football. Sorry, not Sunday night. Monday Night Football. If Carolina wins that game, we're having a completely different conversation. But if Carolina loses, Cody, they drop to 6-6. The Lions get the Giants, so the Lions, I think, win. They get to 7-4. That means the Niners would have the win and the head-to-head over Carolina and get to 8-4. I think Carolina would be potentially out. The question is, do you believe the Packers? They're the team that's most vulnerable to me. Not the Niners at 7-4,
not
Seattle at 7-3. I think the Packers are, if you were to tell me one team right now that could still get bumped other than Chicago, maybe you're not sold there. But I think the Bears can win Sunday. The Packers are 6-3-1. Josh Jacobs is now hurt. They have just not been all that impressive at all this season. I could see, if I had to predict somebody to get bounced that's currently on the NFC side, I would actually say the Packers, despite the first 3 weeks of the season, everybody was saying, oh my gosh, Super Bowl team.
It's, if I think the Lions are making the playoffs, and you do too, that's the only one I would put in. So I only think one team in the NFC is not making the playoffs based on the 10 teams that are in there.
So then who are you kicking
out? It's not Seattle. Their next three games are Titans, Vikings, and Falcons. Mm-hmm. J.J. McCarthy this week was talking about how he has to rewire his brain. So I don't think it's probably going to be him figuring it out.
He said he's about to explode or something. Though.
Yeah, so I got to like refire my neuro pathways. I'm like, well, that guy's screwed. It's not the Vikings. So like they got Titans, Vikings, and Falcons the next 3 weeks. Sorry. Shocker. I don't think it's going to be the Seahawks who fall off the map based on that. Packers have Vikings, another team I think they should beat. But then Lions, Bears, Broncos, Bears again, and Ravens.
So I'm saying, I think the Packers...
full strength Ravens team. I'd hate to just be like, yes, let's agree, but I do think it's the Packers. I think that they're going to be the... which is crazy. It's got to be them or the 49ers. Like, couldn't you see the 49ers eventually, like, they've been battling injuries this entire time.
Here's why.
Their defense isn't nearly as good. They play in a really difficult conference, and they're in last place right now.
Here's why. Like, it comes out to Monday night. If they were to lose, yes, but if they beat Carolina on Monday night, they're 8-4. Their playoff probability goes to 90%.
Because their next two games are Browns and Titans.
And they would have the head-to-head over Carolina. Yeah. So I think the Niners are actually as long as they have to win on Monday night. If they lose, then it's a different conversation. If they win, though, I think the Niners are in. The Packers are the team to watch there, unless you just don't buy in the Bears and you think the Bears are just going to completely fall off.
Or you just don't think the Lions are going to make it.
I can't imagine that with the weapons that they have offensively.
I know, but like they're kind of like the Chiefs in this situation where, sure, on paper, I know that they're a better football team, but at the same time...
Like, I think the Lions are still winning the division, is what I'm saying. I actually think the Lions are winning the NFC North still. I do not believe the Bears are going to win that division.
I'm with you there on that one. I think the Lions are going to win the NFC North, and I actually think if I'm going to put my picks in, I'm going to agree with you guys on the AFC side. It's got to be Pittsburgh or Los Angeles Chargers. And on the NFC side, I think the team that's not going to get in is
the gleeful of which be
the Bears.
Yeah.
I think the Bears is just because it hasn't looked pretty.
Like, well, probability would tell you they have the least likely chance to make it of teams that are currently in. So
at 7 wins.
They're at 7 wins. With a win, they go to a 69% chance. Currently 59% chance. They have the lowest win playoff probability of any of the teams that are currently in the field.
You know why? Because in their next 6 games, they play 5 playoff teams, active playoff teams. Steelers, Eagles, Packers twice, and 49ers are all actively in the playoffs. And so if you just look at the schedule and you're like, well, the Bears aren't going to do this forever. I guess part of it, and then the Lions to finish it, which is not a playoff team, but pretty much. And so, like, I understand why people think it'll fall apart. I just think they're just talented enough. I don't think it's going to fall apart. And they just got to go around 500 to do it.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll talk about Jonathan Taylor, obviously having an unbelievable season in Indianapolis. What do the Chiefs have to do in that particular matchup? Plus, what is going on with Major League Baseball and their future on the TV side? But I don't know if you guys remember, probably 2 or 3 months ago, heading into the season, we were debating with Drew about, you know, Shedeur Sanders and Dylan Gabriel, and at the time, Kenny Pickett and Joe Flacco, and who should start and how long would it take? And you know, we go back to the draft process and we went back and forth about how the Browns were handling Shedeur Sanders.
Yeah.
And Drew had made a comment at the time, I think something along the lines of basically like
they want him to fail.
They're not helping him succeed and they want him to fail. And I went and got into it because I was like, why would they draft somebody to not
just
help
to screw
them?
His career? Yeah.
Whatever. So that was an old conversation. Then I heard Cam Newton on a national platform earlier in the week basically give Drew's take on the air. Let me play this for you.
I do not think Kevin Stefanski wants Shedeur Sanders to succeed in Cleveland. The reason being is, don't tell me what he said. Don't tell me what he's saying. I'm going off of actions. All right? Let's go off actions.
The actions is, if I'm Shadur or if I'm a Shadur Sanders fan, I would not want him to take the field because that's going to consistently be the display we're going to see. It doesn't matter if it's Deshaun Watson. It doesn't matter if it's Shadur Sanders. It doesn't matter if it's Dillon Gabriel. It doesn't matter if it's Dan Orlovsky. It doesn't matter if it's Cam Newton. You need help in Cleveland when you have a quarterback that's still making $46 million on your roster and he's not healthy. That impacts the talent that's around them. They are not a good team.
So that was Cam Newton. A couple things that to me are absolutely insane.
Mentioning Cam Newton is hilarious. Couple things, the other people.
A couple things are insane with what he said. Number one, he said he doesn't think Kevin Stefanski is trying to help Shadur Sanders.
I do not think Kevin Stefanski wants Shadur Sanders.
What, does he want to get fired?
He does. Okay. They drafted Shadur Sanders in the fifth round, mind you. Okay, so let's keep that in mind.
He put him in an NFL football game.
And we're supposed to believe, this is where, like, we can, look, the Browns are a terrible organization. The Browns are not good. They're not well run. Quarterbacks have not had success there. That's all a fact. Suggesting, though, that the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, who's on the hot seat, intentionally doesn't want their fifth round draft pick to have success is the most asinine thing. It's absolutely ridiculous. It makes no sense whatsoever. Then at the end, when he's saying, I don't think he should be, I'm paraphrasing. Basically, he said, I don't think he should want to play because he won't have success.
Well, this is his only chance.
This is how this works. You were drafted by an NFL team. I'm sorry, it's a crappy franchise. Like, not everybody gets to land in a perfect spot. Like, that is what it is. Like, nobody's disagreeing that the Browns, it's a tough spot to have success. I would agree. But also, again, you were a fifth round draft pick. You don't have the luxury of landing in the perfect spot and get a start when everything's perfect for you.
People become blind to it because one of the takes I saw was, well, they weren't giving him any first round reps, first team reps.
That's a fifth round draft pick.
First, he was also hurt. When was he supposed to take those first team reps? When he was injured? Like, he couldn't have taken them. That's not how it works when you're injured. You can't take first team reps. Part of this is, genuinely, I'm not saying that there's never been a coach out to get a player. Let me just preface that. You know what happens in that case? They don't play them. That's what happens when you're out to get a play. You don't play them. You don't put them on a football field where they might accidentally do something well. You don't play them. If you're a coach and you don't want a player to succeed, you know what you do? You don't play them in a football game. You play anyone else before you get to that point. And so, no, I just think he probably might stink. And that's why he fell to the fifth round. And he was hurt, so he hadn't had a lot of reps, and then he had a bad start. He's got another chance this weekend. Like this is his only chance to start in the NFL, by the way. He'll never get another chance.
I don't know about that. I don't know if that's fair to say, Cody. I don't know. Certainly, this is his best opportunity to flash and do something. I don't know if it's fair to say this is his only opportunity. The only thing I would say is we're talking about a quarterback, and of course, because it's Shadur Sanders, that's the only reason why he's even getting mentioned. Normally, nobody would be talking about a fifth-round pick, and I get that. But, this idea, though, that any organization drafts a player with the intention of wanting them to fail is crazy. Look, we might be upset that the Chiefs drafted Breshard Smith and haven't played him as much as we would want. I don't think Andy Reid and the Chiefs are intentionally trying to sabotage his career. No. I mean, that's basically what Cam Newton's saying about Shadur Sanders and Kevin Stefanski. It's like, that's asinine. There are players that get drafted all the time. They don't pan out. They don't play as much as we think they should play their rookie year for a variety of reasons. It doesn't mean the head coach is intentionally not giving him an opportunity to succeed. That's crazy.
The NFL Illuminati setting him up. So
people are saying, Cody, keep your voice down. You're going to hurt your abdomen. Fresh off the hernia surgery. We don't need you popping a stitch or whatever.
I didn't get medical permission to sing this week, so I probably shouldn't yell too much.
Do not do that. All right. Up next, let's talk about Jonathan Taylor. He's only got, 27. Or he's only got, what is it? 20 on pace for 1,900 yards, 1,800 yards or something like that.
And
crazy.
Like a billion touchdowns.
We're going to get to his numbers in the last time the Chiefs faced one of the top running backs in the NFL. And is this the formula for Kansas City? We'll explain that next.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Every NFL Thursday, your chance to hit the jackpot on FanDuel. Because FanDuel's Thursday touchdown jackpot, you can win a share of $2 million in bonus bets each week. To get in on this Thursday's action, all you have to do is place an anytime touchdown score bet before the game kicks off. And if your player scores the first or last touchdown of the game, you'll win your bet plus a share of bonus bets. Just visit FanDuel.com/Alex to take a shot at the jackpot. That's FanDuel.com/Alex for your chance to win a share of $2 million in bonus bets. Play your game with FanDuel, an official sports betting partner of the NFL and 96.5 The Fan. 21 and President, Kansas, opt-in required. Must apply profit boost token on select market. Prize pool to be split equally among all eligible participants who made the correct first or last touchdown pick. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets, which expire 21 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. FanDuel is offering online sports wagering in Kansas under an agreement with Kansas Star Casino, LLC. Gambling problem? Getting help is your best bet. Call 1-800-522-4700 or visit ksgamblinghelp.com. All right, just getting started here on a Thursday. You guys can hit us up on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-586-7965. 25 minutes away from Danan Hughes, former Chiefs wide receiver, joining us. He's got players only tonight as well, 6 o'clock. If you want a player's perspective, we'll try to get one coming up from him at 11 o'clock. Looking ahead to Chiefs and Colts, and we all know priority number one, right, has to be what on earth do you do with Jonathan Taylor? Because this guy is having an unbelievable year. I know people have tried to talk MVP with him. He's not going to win MVP because of the NFL setup with that. Not his fault, but he's not. But right now, he's first in the league in rushing, 1,139 yards. First in the league in touchdowns, has 15 of them. Second,
actually 17 total.
Yeah, sorry, just rushing. I'm just talking about rushing. But yeah, carries 189 of them. That's the second most in the NFL. In fact, what's crazy is the 15 rushing touchdowns. That's 29. That's more than 29 teams. There's 29 teams that don't even have combined 15 rushing touchdowns. He's having ridiculous year. He's averaging 6.03 yards a carry. That leads the National Football League. We can keep going. I got all kinds of Jonathan Taylor stats. But
we're not short on him. His numbers are beyond impressive.
So how do the Chiefs approach this? We know the last time they faced a quality running back anywhere near this was James Cook.
And
a couple weeks ago,
he was pretty good against him.
Buffalo, he had 27 carries, 114 yards, did have one catch for 11. Now, they also have Josh Allen as their quarterback. Like, to me, you're not like stopping Jonathan Taylor. We always talk about, can you stop a player? No. Can you limit him? That's where you're at. Jonathan Taylor, you're not stopping him. Can you avoid the big, long touchdown run? Can you avoid him going for a buck 50 on you? That's what I'm talking about. And I don't know how you guys...
If you were for 113 like James Cook, I'd actually be pretty happy.
Well, it's weird because...
I'd be okay.
Given what is at stake on Sunday, and the season is at stake on Sunday, I would rather go down with Daniel Jones playing amazing and beating me, then you tell me I let Jonathan Taylor go for a buck 50 and three touchdowns or two touchdowns. Like, does that make sense? Like, if I'm the Chiefs, yeah, I want to limit Jonathan Taylor. Sure. I have to make Daniel Jones beat me. Like, look, you want the Chiefs to win? Sure. They can lose this way as well. But if I lose, I can accept more the fact that, you know what? Daniel Jones came into Arrowhead and he just outplayed us, and he threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns, and that's disgusting, but that would be something I'd say, you know what, they're just flat out better. It wasn't happening this year. I'm not letting Daniel Jones come into Arrowhead, Cody, throw for a buck 89 and have one touchdown pass, and Jonathan Taylor, though, run for 160 yards and three touchdowns. You know what I'm saying? Daniel Jones is going to have to beat me. I'm not. Yep. Jonathan Taylor's not beating me. Daniel Jones is going to have to beat me. And maybe he will, but that's what's going to have to happen.
Come on, Michael Pittman, Alec Pierce. Do your worst, because I'm 100% with you. Look, this isn't surprising, probably, but in their two losses this year, he went 17 carries for 76 yards and no touchdowns. Against the Rams, and then against the Steelers when they looked really bad and turned the ball over a bunch of times, 14 carries for 45 yards and no touchdowns. Weird. They slowed down Jonathan Taylor, and that's when they lost. In the other games, I don't even have to go through the numbers. 165, 102 and 3 scores. The Raiders slowed him down, 17 carries and only 66 yards. He got in the end zone three times. The Chargers game, which was at least close for a stretch of it, he got in the end zone three times. He went for 244 against Atlanta and three scores. And a game in which they definitely could have lost. That game went to overtime. But the reason why they won is because Jonathan Taylor exists. You can give up 100 yards to him. You can even let him get in the end zone. You cannot let him go off on you. And the biggest problem is, and this is where I fear it the most, is they might be able to hold him down 20-20. They're actually okay at that most of the time this year. Are they going to be able to stop this team from getting in the end zone if they get inside the 20? Like, I fear more. Like, that's where I'm going to say Daniel just beat me. Borderline goal line defense inside the 20. We got to go one-on-one. We got to go one-on-one against every guy you've got, and Daniel Jones has got to step back. So be it. But I'm not going to let Jonathan Taylor eat up 7 yards a carry once they get inside the 30.
Yeah, and I was trying to look it up. Daniel Jones, in terms of his mobility, we know, you know, in the Chargers game earlier in the year, Justin Herbert was able to run. We know that you know, Trevor Lawrence was able to run on them. What's the numbers for Daniel Jones this year? Last game, seven carries, 53 yards Daniel Jones. Now, I say that was by far his best of the year. Otherwise, 3 for 4, 1 for 3, 5 for 7, 5 for 20, 4 for 27. Like, so it hasn't been a huge issue, but he has the ability. He also,
fine, I'll let him beat me that way too.
He also, by when he's carrying, he's fumbled 3 times. He's fumbled 6, 7, 8 times this year. Now, he hasn't lost all 8, but he's fumbled 8 times, Daniel Jones has, in the year 2025. I think the interesting thing will be going back to how the Chiefs handled some of the other backs earlier in the year. Not James Cook, but Derrick Henry, Saquon Barkley. If you are going to, you know, go all in on stopping the run and make them beat you in the passing game, you're going to get got sometimes.
Yep.
You know, Tyler Warren has been one of the better tight ends in football this year. We know the track record. The Chiefs are not great in coverage against tight ends. My guess is the Colts, of course, are very well aware of that, and Tyler Warren will have opportunities throughout the day. And to what you're saying, the worry would be if Tyler Warren, when they're, you know, going from the 20 to the 20, if he's able to have success, then they get inside the 20, and then it's the Jonathan Taylor game at that point in time. But Tyler Warren is the offensive weapon outside of Jonathan Taylor you're most concerned about. Michael Pittman's a very good receiver. Alec Pierce,
he's their deep guy,
role player. Yeah. You know, what's his name? Downs is a role player. We said this early in the year. The Colts have a complete team. Everybody knows their role. You know, they got the star running back, but other than that, everybody's got their role. That's why they're dangerous. Nobody, you know, you're not dealing as much with the egos in terms of, hey, I got to make sure my wide receiver goes off and has a huge day. Tyler Warren's a rookie. They just have a really good team and structure there in Indy. It's why they've had all the success this year. And we're just talking offense. We'll get to defense more later in the week about Lou Anarumo and what the defense can do against Patrick Mahomes, given the track record and the bye week and everything. But I just think maybe I'm way off. I'm making somebody else, whether it's Warren, whether it's Jones, somebody else is going to have to come into Arrowhead and beat me. And if they do, tip of the cap and the season's over. But I'm just not going to go down with Jonathan Taylor winning this game for the Colts.
No, if I got to lose because Daniel Jones got 40 yards rushing, like you said, so be it. Like, I'm not saying I'm rooting for the Chiefs, but like you, that's the risk you got to take. I'm sorry. And look, this feels like a big Mike Pinnell game because of that. You're probably going to have to play more run-stuffing defensive line, and that goes back to the problem. They've already had a problem in pass rush. And Daniel Jones has been well protected and certainly well protecting games in which they went, well, sorry, I'm into you, Chris Jones, a couple of guys who are pass rush, better do your job. Because everyone else in the interior is going to be run-stopping defensive tackles. We're not going to let them pin their ears back and get themselves in a spot. Aminihu's easily been one of the most disappointing players. Top 3 on the entire team? Man's got 2 sacks he's played all season this year. He's played 10 full games.
Yeah.
If I had told you that Charles Aminihu stayed healthy the entire year, Gold, you would have had much higher expectations for his level of performance. They're just going to have to risk that Daniel Jones has time and that somebody, or they make a mistake and they get in that Pittsburgh game, or they just start giving it away every 5 seconds. Because that's the other part. The Chiefs have never been a heavy takeaway team. And certainly that has been a bit of an issue during this run where their biggest mistakes have been against somebody else's. I'll be honest, not super optimistic they'll be able to slow down a guy having the kind of year Jonathan Taylor's having. That has nothing to do with the Chiefs' defense. Man has 1,400 total yards and 17 total touchdowns. He's got a year.
So he has the most rushing yards through 10 games since DeMarco Murray back in 2014. Here are the other players, Cody, to have 1,139 or more rushing yards and 15 or more rushing touchdowns through 10 games. Jonathan Taylor's done it. Sean Alexander in 05 is the most recent. Then you got to go back to Terrell Davis in 98, Emmitt Smith in 95, and then Eric Dickerson back in 1983.
Funny enough, that might have been a Sean Alexander MVP year.
I think it was, yeah.
And then, yeah, Terrell Davis was on his way to like winning Super Bowl MVP or whatever the hell it was later.
Emmitt Smith, obviously.
Pretty good running back, so it turns out. Yeah, it's going to be the biggest challenge on Sunday. I think there's almost no doubt about it, but then we'll see. Over on the baseball end of things, no, the Royals haven't made a move or anything yet. We'll keep an eye on the trade market, which we hope that they're involved in over the next few weeks. But baseball announced their plan for what they're going to do on TV next year. and gave us an insight to what they're going to do in the future. So NBC is going to have Sunday Night Baseball in the first round of the playoffs.
Okay,
Netflix
I like it.
Will have the first game of the season, Field of Dreams, the Home Run Derby, and some other little stuff to go with it. And then ESPN's now going to control MLB TV. So when I saw that on paper, I'm like, you know what? Yeah, it's fine. Like, do I think that I should have to have Netflix to watch the Home Run Derby? Not necessarily, but I had to have ESPN to watch the Home Run Derby the last few years anyway, so I already had to own a separate service. My biggest issue is you completely revamped the way you did baseball, and you wanted to have it more international. That's why Netflix is involved. People can have that outside of there. But you still didn't fix the single biggest problem, which is blackouts. I still can't just own the ESPN app, pay an additional fee or not, and watch Royals games locally. I still have to have a set, and it's regional baseball. So what you do with nationally televised games.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.
In baseball in particular, almost doesn't matter. It does not impact me. I don't randomly catch Dodgers Angels on Sunday Night Baseball for NBC. It has very little impact. So this is all, in my opinion, just for show. And then you get into the other stuff where they're talking about how they're going to handle the World Series, and that could be messy.
Yeah, in 2028, I think, is when more of potential blackout restriction conversation happens, post-potential lockout, new CBA, and then also the media deals.
Yeah.
I think that would be interesting to watch. I'm with you there. I mean, I like the fact that Saturday Night Baseball is going to NBC. I think they'll actually, you know, their NBC is all in on sports, man. They got the NBA back.
Yep,
they, of course, have Sunday Night Football. They get playoff games. They're now adding in Sunday Night Baseball. They've got college football, big time matchup, not only at Notre Dame, but still they've got some big packages now when it comes to their college football. They're all in there. And so they're taking it seriously. And so I think that's always important. If you're baseball, remember, that was the whole argument. They didn't think ESPN was valuing baseball enough. And in their coverage and Sports Center in their coverage, they thought they were just kind of getting the shaft. And so I think that's important. Am I more likely to watch Sunday Night Baseball on NBC? Maybe initially, but you know how this is. Like, we all get sick of watching the Yankees and Red Sox six times throughout the season on Sunday Night Baseball. Or I know it's not six, but it feels like
they don't ever spread it around. Yeah,
and so that gets old. The blackout stuff, I just think it's going to take some time. The part that I didn't like was looking at the World Series potential discussion, which is, according to this report, World Series rights could be split among multiple networks under the next media deal. So I don't know. I mean, it's just flat out. Hey, in 2029, it's on Fox. On 2030, it's on Netflix. In 2031, it's on.
I don't think they could go
TNT
game to game. That'd
what?
Be insane.
Yeah, it's got to be year to year. Could you imagine? Game one's on Fox, and then a whole new crew has to come in.
Game two's on NBC?
I think they're talking about year to year, but I don't even like that. I don't know, I actually think Fox does a really nice job. But do you care about that part? Does that bug you as much as for me?
Like, a little. And I don't think that any team should ever put their I think it's a mistake by any league to not put their championship series on network television. I think it should be available over the air, bunny ears. I don't think you want to limit who can watch your championship series or championship match to a streaming only service or a service only available via an already like YouTube TV, Hulu TV, cable television, any of those things. I think it's a mistake.
There's been rumors that at some point the NFL is going to end up, you know, as much as they're doing these Christmas Day games on Netflix and stuff, that we are not that far away from having a Super Bowl only on Peacock or whatever.
I think that's a mistake. Championship should be available to all.
I agree. I agree. Now, Netflix has 300 million subscribers worldwide, you know, so I would, you know, it's not the same access.
And Amazon's
but it's
probably got a similar
even
number.
More, I think, yeah. Because Prime, people, a lot of people just have Prime and don't even use it for Prime Video. They just have Prime for the shipping and everything else that you get with it. But I hear you. Now, look, same thing applies. If your local team is in any of these games that are on streaming in the NFL and stuff, you're able to use an indoor antenna or whatever and get it. But things are changing, man. Things are changing. I mean, the NFL has already started doing this with wild card games. You know, we all know everybody signs up for Peacock when you find out that Saturday wild card game is only on Peacock app or whatever. We ran into this a couple of years ago with the Chiefs.
The only thing that gives me a little bit of hope in all of this is, and the way that they're doing this with ESPN and MLB TV, is that maybe, just maybe, Gold, because it's all under one, maybe you're one step closer to a grouped, negotiated MLB TV rights package that equally shares money amongst teams. Maybe giving us a little taste of this, that in the next collective bargaining agreement, there is some way to work out where the Dodgers don't have a TV deal worth $100 million a year, and the Royals have a TV deal worth $40 million a year, thus widening the already large gap between small and large market in baseball. Because at the very least, if you could just toss a few more bucks the way of the small market teams via a shared TV deal, the way the NBA does it, the way the NFL does it, the way equitable leagues do it, maybe this, like, oh, ESPN's controlling it is like a test run for what if we let one entity.
Well, that's the dream. I mean, I think that's the dream if you're a small market, that everybody's under the same TV package. But I will still say, in fairness, if I'm the Dodgers, if I'm the Yankees, why is it up to them to... Like, why would you do that if
why
you're
there? Why are they helping the poor?
Why would they? You can say, oh, for the better good of the sport. In Kumbaya, we could all sing together. Like, I wish, you know? Like, I'm with you that I would love for that to happen. I think, and you even said it, it's far-fetched for a reason.
You just need a few more. You need one or two of the larger-ish markets. Teams like the Yankees have been getting pissed at what the Dodgers have been doing. You just need one or two more upper end guys, because already two-thirds of the league is in the same situation I'm just talking about, would like more equal rights and TV packages, thus making it fair. It's really only 10 teams that operate in this anyway. You see a couple defectors, Gold. Doesn't matter if you got five or six teams that are like, screw you, we don't want to share it. You just need a majority. You need 24 of the 30 teams saying, hey, this TV deal stinks. I don't care that the Dodgers don't want to do it. We're doing it. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's like a couple of them, Gold, they're never going to change their opinion. Doesn't help them in any way. You just need a couple of the other large markets that are like, hey, it's even unfair for us. And the Yankees, I think, are getting closer. Because they haven't won in so long.
What the Dodgers are doing, I mean, that's a conversation more about deferred money and whether or not that should be allowed in the future, even more so than it is about just the TV deals.
Well, it's just resources. Yeah. And they just have different, that's all.
Coming up in 10 minutes, we'll talk with Dane and Hughes. I was looking at the MVP conversation last night in the NFL. I had my betting show. That betting show airs Wednesday nights here on 96.5 The Fan. I thought we had a good conversation last night about the MVP race. And right now, the favorite is Matthew Stafford. He's plus 135.
That's more than fair.
Drake May plus 175. Josh Allen, 4.5 to 1. And if you were wondering, Jonathan Taylor is sitting at 9 to 1. It's a three-horse race. I think it's pretty obvious at this point in time. Do you think the winner of the AFC East will/should be the MVP? Because I think, look, we know the path to being MVP. Josh Allen's not out of this conversation yet, because if they were to get hot and the Patriots were to slip up, Josh Allen absolutely could still win MVP. What I wonder is, we know how much narrative is involved in this. Josh Allen won a year ago. Don't you think voters, if Drake May wins the AFC East, fresh, new face, everybody loves a new star, all of that, that bodes well for Drake May. That would give him an advantage if he wasn't going up against Matthew Stafford. And that's the balance. How much does the young up-and-coming guy get the benefit with narrative versus, let's say, Matthew Stafford keeps doing what he's doing, which is more touchdown passes than anybody else in the league. You know, he has like 25 touchdowns, 2 picks. It's insane. Absolutely.
27 and 2.
It's absolutely insane. So he is the favorite for a reason. If they win the NFC West, and the win last week against Seattle was a big step in the direction for that, he's never won an MVP. He's 37, 38 years old. This could be his last year. He's got the Super Bowl ring already. The last thing to cap off a Hall of Fame career, if he gets it, by the way, is an MVP.
I think he'd probably get it anyway, just showing how the NFL works. But it would cap off his career. Touchdown, and I think that we should count those because people love bringing them up for guys like Josh Allen. 28 total touchdowns and 2 picks. Yes, you should win the MVP.
So I think
he's better in every category than Drake.
It'll be interesting how people vote if it ends up being a May versus Stafford conversation? Do people vote for the old guy, the legacy, and all this, even though the numbers will also be in his favor? Or do people say, ah, Drake May, he's a young up-and-coming story, came out of nowhere, maybe they're the number one seed in the AFC after all that, knocked off Josh Allen in his own division? That's a big deal. They still play each other one more time.
And the big thing about the narrative right now that is, people think Drake May's weapons are significantly worse
Absolutely.
Than they think Matthew Stafford's are.
Yeah, Matthew Stafford still has not only a genius and offensive-minded play caller in Sean McVay, Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua. You take a look at Drake May, Stephon Diggs is his number one receiver, who's having a very nice year, but still, it's Diggs, it's Kayshon Booty, and it's a running back, a rookie running back in Travion Henderson.
Who they weren't even starting for a huge chunk of the year, and instead we're going with Ramondre Stevenson. And
it's
so,
a fun conversation. I think
because it's a legacy award and he doesn't have one, they'd be tempted to just be like, here, Stafford, have your, for all those years for playing for the Lions, here's your MVP. He deserves it anyway.
If I had a vote right this second, it would be Matthew Stafford. But if we fast forward later on in the year and Drake May closes the gap number-wise and Drake May's not the number one seed, I think it's interesting. If Drake May gets the number one seed, it's going to be very difficult to make a case, I think, that a lot of voters won't give the edge to Drake May just because they like the new name.
Unseating Josh Allen might be the biggest feather in all the cap, right? Because Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes have been ruling their divisions for a very, 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 very long time. And so if you're going to have the stats to go with unseating a person who has been leading their division for years and years and years, well then, yeah, it's probably going to be in that case. I think people love Matt Stafford. They think he's a, you know, perfect quarterback, and they will say that this will hurt him. They will say, Drake May's got plenty of time to win one. Matt Stafford's almost 40. Drake May's got all the time in the world. We'll get him an MVP later. You know, and whether you like it or not, when they sit in these meetings, I know they don't say it out loud. I know they're not dumb enough to say it out loud, but I guarantee you they think it. I guarantee you they think it, and it factors into their thought process.
It's all narrative, man. It's stats, but it's narrative. Remember, this is voted on before the playoffs start, as it should be. So it's a regular season award, and it's made up, you know, it was what, 50, what, like 55 people, 59 people or something like that get a vote on MVP?
Something like that. Yeah, I mean, you would vote for Stafford?
Right this second, I would.
So you don't think Mahomes going to win it anymore?
That's over. Yeah, he's not going to win the division. The only way it would happen, they would have to win out, Broncos collapse. That's it. That's the only way.
What if
he didn't
win the division, but they won out and he had like 20 passing touchdowns and no picks?
I think people are done on that conversation for 2025. Don't forget, this Sunday, maybe you can't count on much these days, but you could always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game all season long, kicking off with, as they say, Cody, the juicy Week 12 matchup. That's not my words, but the Colts and Chiefs.
It is a pretty juicy matchup, you know? Not gonna lie.
Juicy. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. Up next, Danon Hughes is going to join us, former Chiefs wide receiver. He'll be on the broadcast with Mitch Holthus and Josh Klingler right here on 96.5 The Fan. I want to ask him about what is at stake on Sunday, and also what does he make of the conversation around RPOs and going under center and play calling being predictable? That's coming up.
This is Cody and Gold on your new home for K-State Athletics. 96.5 The Fan. Brought to you by Heartland Men's Health, the leader in men's sexual health. Thousands of men have been successfully treated for low T, ED, and more, all with discretion and compassion. Make your appointment at heartlandmenshealth.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
What's good, y'all? It's Von Miller, Super Bowl MVP, SAG Master, and now your host of Free Range. This is where NFL meets real talk. Every week, I'm bringing you inside the game, from locker room stories to league-wide headlines. You want football IQ, locker room insight, and real conversations with the people shaping the league? Welcome to Free Range with Von Miller, where nothing is off limits and every down counts. New episodes every Wednesday. Listen and follow Free Range with me, Von Miller, wherever you get your podcasts.